For tonight's meditation, we look to two passages. First of all, Psalm 23, and then Ezekiel 34, verses 11 through 31. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Ezekiel 34 Verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As the shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie down in a good fold and in a fat pasture. Shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel? I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and I will bring again that which was driven away, and I will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will feed them with judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and between the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but ye must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat with that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. Because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. And I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make them a covenant of peace. And I will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bands of their yoke and deliver them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God, and ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. Thus far God's precious word to us. The congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is a beautiful version of Psalm 23 in a form of a hymn. Perhaps you know it. The King of love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. Where streams of living water flow, my ransomed soul he leadeth, and where the virgin pastures grow, with food celestial feedeth. How true this is. When you know your shepherd, your good shepherd, you know he is a king of love, a king of love. And as believers, we trust him. Everything in our lives, when we have become sheep by his grace, shows us in some way or another his love. But there are also situations where it's easy to lose sight of that love and to start doubting that he is indeed a good shepherd. And two of those situations we come to in our text this evening. First, when we are wayward, it's easy to doubt the love of the shepherd in our lives. When we are not following closely, when we can't experience his love and hear his voice. And the second one is in dark valleys. It's difficult to discern his love at times. Those moments it's easy to lose sight that our shepherd is with us, and that we therefore should not be afraid. But as we meet David singing about his shepherd tonight again, he says, even in those situations, I know that he loves me and that he cares for me. I know even then. And so with the Lord's help, we are going to think about that together tonight. Verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 23 are our text. With the Lord's help, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So simply, tonight, my shepherd's love for me, when wayward and when in the dark, secondly. So do you see that sheep there? It's far from the shepherd. It doesn't look very happy. It doesn't look very content. It's wounded there. It scratches all over. It's wandered from the flock. Maybe it saw a few attractive flowers, and then a few more. And the voice that the sheep once heard close is now distant. And the sheep kept on going. There were warning signs, but the sheep thought, I know it better. I know how to work these things on my own. And that's the reality of a life of God's children at times. prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We think about David, about his waywardness. David and Bathsheba. He talks about it in Psalm 51. He talks about it in Psalm 32. What did he say? Wayward. In a barren land. I was like a dried up land. There was this pain in me. The hand of the Lord was heavy on me. Waywardness is a reality still here on this side of the Jordan of death for God's people. Not just in a different way for the goats. Yes, that's right. The goats are always wayward. But it is also something that a child of God struggles with. Backsliding, we call it. How does a believer wander from the shepherd? And how do we know, how do we become backslidden? Well, first of all, it starts often in the closet, in our prayer life. We are not as fervent in prayer. We don't pray as often. Maybe we pray still in public, but on our own. We don't pray throughout the day. We stop doing that. And the Bible doesn't speak so much to us anymore. It becomes not a joy, but a chore. And when we listen, it seems to be rebuking us. Or it's just all the way club quiet already. And our relationships, well, they don't go so smooth. There's some disharmony. Because there is disharmony with the shepherd. We're far away from the shepherd. And that flows into our relationships. Bickering and butting, arguments. If that's the case, that's waywardness. If you can't pray and find joy in prayer tonight, if you can seem to hear the voice of God through the scriptures, although they are spoken to you and your close relationship, and it doesn't depend on you. There are times that you have close relationships that don't go well, but you do everything and you are close in prayer and you're reading the word, but you're trying hard. But no, I'm talking about those relationships that don't run smooth because we are just simply wayward. Because our relationship with the Lord is not good. That can be an indication that we are like wayward sheep. We've lost the way. We're not hearing the voice of the shepherd. We are not enjoying the nearness of the Lord, and we have strayed from Him. But there is a difference between that, someone who knows the voice of the Lord and who has and had enjoyment in prayer, and someone who doesn't know the voice of the Good Shepherd at all. Living for yourself and following your own desires. You're just in barren land, but you seem to maybe enjoy yourself. But you've never become a sheep of the pasture. Because true sheep are marked out with two ways. Sometimes you see sheep having an earmark, right? Well, so here, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. That's the second. I give them eternal life. First, they hear my voice. That's the earmark and the footmark. That's the second one. They follow me, obedient to the word of God. So if these marks are absent in your life, we need to search ourselves. It's a week of self-examination, after all, and preparation for the Lord's Supper. We need to see, where are we? Are we close? Are we far? Or don't we know the shepherd at all? Those are three different things. And they should not drive us away from the shepherd or make us panic, but they should drive us to the shepherd tonight, to the good shepherd, the King of love. Because our text begins with these words, "He restoreth my soul." Last Sunday we saw something of it. The woman at the well. She came and she was brought to those refreshing waters. It's a little different. The picture is a little different here when it says, "He restoreth my soul." But it's much the same. The word means he returns me. In repentance, that's the word here. He returns, he brings me back to himself. He restoreth my soul. And David relishes, if he knew the old New Testament, he would have said that he's my prince and savior to give repentance unto Israel and to his people. You know, that's what he gives. Wandering sheep, wayward sheep, backslidden sheep, sheep in bypass path meadow, or not in the fold at all, they need to hear the voice of the shepherd. And they need to be delivered, and he does it. He does it. In all their waywardness. Also tonight, how does he do it? How does he restore us? Well, he shows you, you're out of the way. He shows you, this is your sin. He puts your finger on your sins. And he makes you sorry for them. And not only sorry, but you see, he is such a good and loving shepherd. And I have sinned against him. Against him, gracious shepherd. And so you come and you condemn yourself before him and you confess your sins. Say, "Lord, I have wandered away. I'm ashamed of my sins. I want to crucify my sins. I want to hate them, oh Lord. I want no sin in my life." That's what he does. That's what he does. That's how he brings us back. You see, this is quite different with the Pharisees who think they have it all. They don't understand the grace of God. They, in the days of Jesus, when he as a good shepherd walked around the sheep, they said, "Well, look at him. He eats with sinners. He receives them and eats with sinners." Well, God's people, his sheep, rejoice about that fact. But the Pharisees don't. They loved something different. They said, "Well, yeah, look at me. I'm spiritual." I'm pleased with myself. That's something different. That's a Pharisee. And at that time, the Lord Jesus started to talk about that parable of the good shepherd. Of the good shepherd. And his lost sheep. He says, "Don't you know, when you have a lost sheep, and you have 99 sheep, and you've counted them, and you miss that one sheep, you go and you search for it until you have found it. Perhaps you find it somewhere broken and bruised and wounded and rolled over, unable to help itself on its feet again, and dirty and helplessly bleating, stuck under a fence or so, or wandering in a wasteland and sick and filthy because it drank from fountains that are or muddy puddles that made them sick. But when he founds that sheep, what does he do? He takes it and he gently lays it on his shoulders. He lifts it and his heart fills with joy. And gratitude. And he says, 'Come, I will bring it back to the flock. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, because he restoreth my soul.' He brings me back, wayward sheep as I am. And it is his joy to do so. Yes, it's the joy of heaven to take this little sheep, wounded and bruised and broken, and on his shoulders he gently lays it. And there is joy that fills heaven when he brings it back in repentance and faith. There's no joy in heaven of those who think, I don't need repentance, I'm happy the way I am. No, heaven swells with joy when a sheep repents. When you see your need. When you know that bittersweet medicine of repentance. And you know something of the shepherd's love. And brings you back to the fold. Do you know it? Do you know it? It's good. My shepherd is a good shepherd. A loving shepherd. Well, when you start praying, Lord, help me. I don't know how to get out of here. That's him coming to rescue you. Putting his Holy Spirit so that you cry out. That shows that he's able to bring you back. That shows that he loves you. Doesn't it? That shows that we have a shepherd. If we didn't have a shepherd, he would just leave us in our sins. And in our self-righteousness and in all our pride. No, we have a shepherd. When he restores my soul. And when we desire to be brought back close into the paths of righteousness. When it's his desire and our desires that line up together. That's what our text says. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Do you see that strayed sheep there? He's stuck. He thought he knew better than the shepherd. His name is Peter. He said, if all forsake you, Lord, I won't. I'm ready to die and to go into prison. And others could easily see it. Yeah, he's proud. But he himself didn't see. Peter, you will deny me thrice. Three times. That's what a good shepherd said to him. And that's what happened. You will be sifted as wheat, Peter. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. And after that bitter denial, he looked in that one time in the eyes of the shepherd. And there were those bitter tears when he went out. I've denied my Savior. A heart humbled. And what do we see? The shepherd comes on the shores that one morning after the resurrection. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Shepherd them. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Shepherd them, Peter, just like I shepherded you through this. Peter, do you love me? Settled feeling of sadness comes into his heart. Lord, you know all things. You know. You know that I love you. I didn't show it much, but feed my sheep, Peter. And that's how he was brought back to the bishop and overseer, shepherd and bishop of his soul. Where he looked, as it were, in the wounds of Jesus Christ. By my wounds you are healed, Peter. By my wounds. And by my wounds you are led into those paths of righteousness. Those are special moments when you know them. When you know the voice and the eyes of the shepherd and the heart of the shepherd. When he comes and leads you back in the paths of righteousness. When you have strayed. And the good shepherd intervenes. And we are humbled. We realize how easy it is to stray. We realize how fickle our love is, but we also realize the King of love, my shepherd, is. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. And it helps us to, when others are astray, to not come with a condemning finger, but there's a good shepherd. Perhaps we wonder, what does it mean when the good shepherd leads us in the paths of righteousness? Well, literally it means straight paths. Straight paths. The idea here is ruts. Where cartwheels have made a rut. Well-worn paths. Well-trodden paths. The paths of the sheep. Where all the sheep of Christ have walked. Those paths. What are these paths? They're the path of the gospel. That Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, lay down his life for the sheep. And that he gives them righteousness by his perfection. By his perfect life. It's not the paths of keeping the law and doing it in your own strength. No, no, no. Romans 8:3 tells us, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son, the good shepherd, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, in Christ's flesh, not in ours. But we are connected by faith and therefore also condemned our sins. And that's what the next verse says. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. We are connected to it by the Spirit. And now he fulfills that righteousness for us. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. And so we learn not to walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. His Spirit, Christ's Spirit, leaning on his righteousness, his merits, his good deeds. Ephesians 2 speaks about it so beautifully, doesn't it? Those paths of righteousness. It says there that we have been saved by grace, sovereign grace, but God, who is rich in mercy, he saved us, not by works we have done, but by works he did. And he saves us unto good works. And what does it say about those good works? Those are prepared for us that we should walk in them. Paths of righteousness. Prepared for us. As we listen to his word. As we are transformed by his Spirit, as we keep close to him, he brings us into those paths of righteousness. That's not going by our feelings. I felt I needed to do this or that. It's not trying to read providence. Maybe this or that one. No, no, no. It's living by the book, by his voice. Knowing his shepherd's voice. And that little book that I spoke about, Psalm 23 by Philip Keller, that man that was the shepherd, when he says, as he speaks about this, he says this. Of course, most of us would assert vehemently that we are led by the Lord. We would insist that we would follow wherever he leads. We sing songs to this effect, mental assent to the idea. But being led in the path of righteousness, and he speaks broadly about the church, is concerned, as far as that's concerned, precious few sheep follow that path. Because we are often wayward, willful. There are many who are wayward and willful and self-interested, he says. There are relatively few diligent disciples who forsake all and follow the Master. That's searching, isn't it? It should make us call out, Lord, may I be one of them. May I weigh one of them. And we learn to love and follow Jesus Christ, and that we live for His glory and for His honor, that we learn to more and more submit our wills to Him, because that's what the paths of righteousness are. We submit to Him, not to our own ideas. We learn to surrender. And we learn to serve, yes, others. Not to be seen, but to bless others and to serve our God through that. We follow not the crowds, we follow Him. We listen to His voice. We are led in ways of humility. We don't think high about ourselves. We learn to sacrifice ourselves. We learn to be content in whatever state He brings us. Those are the paths of righteousness. Just a few ways to put them. Now, don't be discouraged. It's a little beginning that we have, as the Catechism tells us. Because what does it say in our text? He leads us there. That's our comfort. He leads us there. And He does that only for one thing, and it's for His own name's sake. When He does it in our lives, not because we think we love Him so well, because we know our hearts, it's often the opposite. But He loves us so well that He leads us in those paths of righteousness. Ezekiel speaks about the people of God wavered, needing restoration. I will give you a new heart. I will take away that stony heart. I will give you a heart of flesh. I will. And then it says, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen. That's what our sins do. They profane His holy name. But He does it for His own name's sake. For His own name's sake. So He loves us out of waywardness into the paths of righteousness. He loves us out of waywardness, restoring our soul into the paths of righteousness. All for His own glory. He does it. And that's our comfort. It brings glory to His shepherding care. It brings glory to His love. It brings glory to His holy name. It brings glory to the one who knows how to guide our lives far better than we do. And as such, it assures us that He loves us when He does that for us. And He even loves us so much to bring us through scary valleys. Scary valleys. My shepherd's love for me when it is dark. I quoted the first two stanzas of the King of Love, my shepherd is. Let me quote the other two. There are more. Perverse and foolish, oft I strayed. But yet in love He sought me, and on His shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. In death's dark veil I fear no ill. With Thee, dear Lord, beside me, Thy rod and staff my comfort still, Thy cross before to guide me. That brings us to verse 4 here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, and Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Do you hear the sheep sing of the love of the shepherd, the care of the shepherd? Even in dark valleys. In our mind, we can picture this, can't we? We see the shepherd go before, and we see a sheep following obediently. And then they need to go to somewhere higher up in the grazing grounds, somewhere higher up, a better grazing grounds awaiting the sheep. But he also realizes that to get there, we have to pass through some of those scary valleys or narrow gorges or ravines. There's only a little bit of light in a day per day that comes and falls, maybe a short hour or something. And for the rest in those ravines, it's dark. But to get up there, you need to go through. And these are scary valleys because they're wild animals. There's robbers that could hide behind the rocks. There's water flowing, rushing, and wadis that you might have to go through. And when you are there and all those sheep, and there's some eeriness to it. Sheep begin to bleat. And it echoes through those valleys and those ravines. But the shepherd knows what is best. And the sheep need to follow. Because he loves them and he cares for them. And he leads them through those valleys and through those ravines for a reason. And he knows what is best. Ever wondered what those valleys in shadow of death are? Literally, it means valley of deep shadows, deep darkness, valley of gloom, valley of forebodings. It's the strongest word for darkness in the Hebrew language. Valleys of deep darkness. And therefore, our translation is quite right to call it shadows of death. Feels like it. It doesn't necessarily mean that it ends in death. It's the shadow of death. It's like the death is casting a shadow. So what are these? What are these valleys? Well, let me suggest four valleys that you can be in. The first one is difficulties in our lives. Dangerous difficulties, darkness. We prefer those days when the sun shines, don't we? But God sometimes turns off the light. And we find that scary because it feels threatening and things can happen to us. I think about those people in Grand Rapids. Suddenly, the valley of the shadow of death, with this young man taken away a week before. Still, Pastor Van der Zwaag said to the young people, it might be possible that you die tomorrow. Make it well. It was well for him. We've heard. Life is unpredictable. Life is scary. Life can be dark. There can be difficulties and trials that seem to be bigger than our lives. And we can all fill in the details. Maybe you say, well, after this pandemic, what is the Lord doing in our church? How is that going to go? And now Pastor Lipsy gets a call. How is that going to go? What about the future? We are to follow whatever the Lord says and whatever he does. We listen to his voice. He's the shepherd. David knew all about this. Life-threatening experiences. Saul pursuing him. Absalom too. Sometimes it can look like the bears that he used to fight are still that when he was still a young shepherd were pale in comparison. Dark valleys, difficulties, unknown future, trials about your health, trials about your job, trials about your child, trials about family members, trials in the world, difficulties. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Difficulties. Depression. Second. Spurgeon often called it the valley of the shadow of death. Depression. If you know what I'm talking about, then you say that's not an exaggeration. He said, I can go through cutthroat lanes. I feel like, whoa, someone is holding me. And then he says, and when the enemy finds my spirit down, he pounces with temptations, and before you know it, you are wounded. You're on the floor. There's spots in the valley, and the bush can conceal adversaries, and temptations spring out the ground like fiery serpents, where the soul is among lions. Depression. The psalmist knew that. Psalm 88, read it. Dark. Psalm 43, why cast down? Life seems dark at times. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Depression. Pilgrim's Progress. Pilgrim needed to go through the valley of the shadow of death. What happened there? You recall that there was all these voices and this darkness, and he couldn't see where he was going. There was this mist and these voices, and he couldn't discern the voices. Was it God? Was it Satan? And it was scary. Dark valley of depression. Dark valleys indeed. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Third, we read Ezekiel 34. Dark valleys. Christ's sheep are at times driven by false shepherds. Cruel tyranny, false shepherds. We look at our world and we see them multiply. Cruel leadership, force, manipulative coercion, wanting the upper hand, having these agendas like Black Lives Matter, for instance, burning churches here in Canada, critical race theory, homosexual agenda, transgenderism. That is force, and that is those are agendas that are like shepherds who push with their sides. We read the chapter, didn't we? With their side and with their shoulders, they push the diseased with the horns instead of healing them and bringing them back to better pastures. And when we see those things, I don't know if you watch the news or look at the news and the internet and you get scared. You say, where is this going? Dark valleys. Our society, where is it going? What about churches? What about pastors? Can they speak the truth? Satan seems to be working overtime. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What did God say in the days of Ezekiel? That we do good to do well to listen to that. I'm with you. I will both search my sheep and seek them out. He's interested in them. I will search out my sheep. I'm interested in the sheep. Many shepherds are not interested in the sheep. They're only interested in themselves. He locates his sheep. He seeks them out. He searches for them. That's what Christ does. He locates them and he goes to them. He helps them. That's not what these false shepherds want. I will locate them. I will seek them. I do them good. All these promises. I will feed them in a good pasture, high mountain, lie in a good fold. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down. I will seek that which was lost and bring it again, and that which is driven away. I will bind up that what was broken. I will strengthen that which was sick. I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. I will judge between the fat cattle and the lean cattle. I will save my flock, Jesus says. And they will be no more a prey. If it's not in this life, it's in the next life. We can be sure about that. And I will set one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. I will. Is he not the same tonight? And you look at this world. Scary valleys. What does he say? As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The agenda of the world is death and nothing else. The agenda of Christ is life. Number four, death itself is a scary valley. Some of you fear it. It's a passageway, though, to higher ground, where he prepares a table for us forever, and where he will anoint our heads with oil forever, and where we will dwell with him continually as we hope to consider these things coming Sunday. It's a passageway. I hope to come back to that on Sunday night. Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, David says it, thou art with me. That makes all the difference. Makes all the difference. You have valleys in your life. Fearful valleys. Follow the shepherd. Listen to his voice. And none can make you afraid. Think about it. He's all seeing. All knowing. All powerful. What can robbers do? They're all in his hand. What can poisonous snakes do when he is close? He will take his club and take them down. What can dark shadows do when he is near and we hear his voice? I'm with you. He loved us so much that he laid down his own life for us, and he came to this world, which is a dark valley, to show us that I am with you, God with us, Emmanuel. And therefore we can say, I will not fear, for thou art with me. He came, and he makes all the difference in a scary valley like that. He endured all these things in his life. He endured difficulties, darknesses at times. He came through this dark valley, the stench of sin everywhere, the temptations of Satan, the hellish agony at last when he was suffering, the darkness of depression settling upon him, this cup of staggering and suffering that he had to drink. There's no one else. And then cruelly treated by leaders. False shepherds crucified, scourged. And the wrath of God on our behalf, most of all. That's why we can be saved through those dark valleys right now. Because we go to a better country, better table, better pasture. He says to us, follow me. I went through all those things. I can help you. And by the way, I've been given all authority in heaven and earth. Go. Go tell them about the gospel. I'm with you, even till the ends of the age. In life and death, in darkness and difficulty. You will never be totally forsaken. Yes, it feels maybe sometimes like that, but Christ's sheep will never be totally forsaken. Because he has his rod and he has his staff. And they comfort me. His rod, what is it? He loves his sheep so much that he has a club. A short stick. And when he sees us go, he throws it. It shakes us up. When we come back, he disciplines us by his word. Restores my soul. At times he uses his rod and we have to pass under it. And he uses it to see what's all, if the sheep is healthy. He searches us. He searches us with the rod. Deeply. In our hearts. And at times he takes his rod and he sees his snake going and he takes his rod. Satan will be trod under your foot shortly, my sheep. His staff is a longer stick with a crook on it at the end. When he sees ewes and lambs and they ought to be together close and there's sheep in between and he sees them, he takes the little ewe with his stick without touching it and he brings it close. He brings people close with his staff. He draws us together by his word, by his gospel. And when we have lost the way, he says through his word and through his staff, no, not that way. Here, come this way. This is the way. Walk ye in it. And when it's even worse and we find ourselves in the ditch, there's the crook. He takes it and he uses his staff and he lifts us out of our trouble, out of the horrible pit in the miry clay. And he puts a song in our mouth. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. His rod and staff, they comfort me as nothing else. So dear congregation, when our Lord is our shepherd, he restores us, he leads us in the path of righteousness, he goes with us through gloomy valleys and he promises to be with us. His word and his comforts us. His rod and his staff protect us. What else do we need? Will we trust his love? Will you find comfort today? He says, come. I'm your shepherd. Follow me wherever I will lead you. And what a happy sheep we can be if we learn to follow, even through the deepest darkness of our lives, because he knows what it's good for. And we keep hearing his voice. And he tells us he is a good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd, the Bible tells us. Yes, he is the King of love. And he is the one who coming Sunday spreads his table and invites all those who learn to follow and hear his voice and who say, by the grace of God, he's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. I know his loving care. He loves me. Look at what he's done for me. All this he does and more. Now spreads the table in my sight thy unction grace bestoweth. And oh, what transport of delight from thy pure chalice floweth. Amen.